This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Heidi Moore from The Guardian, filling in for Charlie Herman. And I'm joined today by Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Farooqar of Time Magazine. Something happened yesterday at the NASDAQ that has never happened before. Glitches on the exchange brought a halt to trading in over 3,000 stocks and options. Some are calling it the flash freeze. But it's just the latest software malfunction to disrupt the markets, and it's not even the first one this week. Goldman Sachs lost what could be hundreds of millions of dollars Tuesday after some mistaken trades based on an algorithm. So, Joe, Rana, let's talk about this. What happened? And more importantly, how could this happen?
Well, Heidi, trading has become complicated and computerized. And it is inevitable that software is going to glitch, is going to break down, is going to have problems. The problem for the rest of us is that this just seems to keep on happening. We had the Facebook IPO mess. We've had flash crashes left and right. And so you just have to start wondering, how is this affecting the markets, and how is it affecting investors?
And I think it's having a huge effect. I mean, just to give you a sense of the size of high-frequency trading, computerized trading, 60% of the value of the New York Stock Exchange now turns over once a year, and that's double what it was 20 years ago. So with the rise of technology, with the rise of computerized trading, has come a lot more speed and, some would argue, short-termism in the market. And that has all kinds of implications for things like how we tax investments and how we regulate stock exchanges.
Right. And that's really dangerous for people because we have our 401ks in the market. You know, when we talk about the NASDAQ, what's listed on there? Apple, Facebook, Intel. There are these companies that we know and depend on. So is this something that people really should be worried about putting their confidence in the market if this keeps happening?
Well, you know, I think that actually this ties to some of the broader issues about financial regulation and the safety of our financial system that President Obama was touching on this week. You know, I mean, 5 years on from the financial crisis, only 40% of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation rules have been written. That has a lot of impact in many ways on the market.
Right. And then you have the issue of high-frequency trading itself. Now, this particular glitch may or may not have been a consequence of high-frequency trading, but it puts that issue in the forefront again. And it's really worth thinking about the implications. High-frequency traders, something like 95% of their trades get canceled. Their computers are actually in next to the NASDAQ computers. I mean, they have a system that they often get, you know, hundreds of a second peek at trades before they happen. Now, the government, the SEC, has been trying to sort of stop things like flash crashes. But to me, they haven't really looked, you know, behind the shade, and they haven't really asked the tough questions about, is high-frequency trading giving an advantage to the insiders, to the pros, to the people who have those computers at the expense of the rest of us?
And I would argue that that's true. You know, I know someone who runs a big high-frequency trading operation and has told me that actually the big banks can take their capital and sort of use it as a lure to get small investors going someplace else in the market while they sort of swim over to the other side of the pond and grab everybody's lunch. You know, it's very hard to argue that huge banks, huge investors working with a lot of capital and very fast computers don't have an advantage over you and me.
Right. And they also have an effect on the market. Even though this glitch, NASDAQ is saying that this glitch was due to how they quote stock prices, and it didn't have to do with high frequency trading. But what high frequency trading does is add complexity to the market. It adds a lot more computers. And what's really surprising is that it seems like the exchanges can't keep up. I mean, NASDAQ should have had a backup system, but they don't have a backup system.
And the SEC has actually been pulling back from some of the rules that policed this kind of high-frequency trading after some of the scandals of the past. So that may be something that we need to look at again.
It also is coming to seem more and more that NASDAQ, if it's not quite right to say it's in over its head, it's falling behind. That whatever its technology is can't quite keep up with the technology of the traders who are kind of overwhelming it. And I think that's one of the reasons these glitches are taking place.
And, you know, I think that also brings up something I know we've talked about on the show before about how are guys that are making five figures able to police guys that are making several times that.
And that's why it's so hard for those guys with the five-figure salaries, the guys at the Securities Exchange Commission, to hold off these technical errors that we've been hearing a lot about. There was the flash crash of 2010, the Facebook IPO, as Joe said. Knight Capital had a $440 million loss last October. How do we make this end? And what role do the exchanges themselves have in it?
Well, the exchanges have become you know, for-profit operations. And so their incentive is actually to help the high-frequency traders because that's where the money is. And so it really is going to be up to the government to kind of get in there and hire people who know this stuff as well as the high-frequency traders do, and to say, we need a marketplace that's somewhat less complex and that allows individual investors, people with their 401ks in the market, to have more confidence than they are having when the markets crash and crash and crash and crash and crash.
Finally, let's look ahead to next week in the stories you're watching. Rana?
So I'm thinking about tapering, and not of hemlines, but the Fed's asset buying program over the last few years. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the Fed starting to scale that back in the fall, and that's already having an impact, just the hint of it, on emerging markets. You're seeing a lot of volatility there, a lot of problems in India, for example, and some of the other big emerging markets. And there's talk that tapering could begin as soon as September. Now, if we believe that the Fed's program of asset buying has had a really disproportionate effect on the market going up so much in the last couple of years, it'll be really interesting to see what happens when they start pulling back.
Joe?
Tapering? I'm thinking of vaporing.
Did you guys work this out before?
We did not.
We did not.
It's the Dr. Seuss edition of Money Talking.
All of a sudden, electronic cigarettes seem to be sprouting everywhere. They seem to be in the news. They seem to be on the table as a potential alternative for smokers. And the real question about e-cigarettes from a public policy perspective is that right now they're unregulated. And the question is, will the FDA regulate e-cigarettes? And if so, how will they do it? And how will e-cigarettes be perceived? Will they be perceived as a potential danger and a gateway to tobacco? Or will they be perceived as something that actually will prevent people from picking up tobacco? And that's a battle, I guess you could call it, that will be worth watching.
We'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take the program with you as a podcast, available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Heidi Moore, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.